This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line
with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
Hey, everybody, and welcome in. It's another edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM, your Tuesday crew all season throughout the NFL campaign from downtown Las Vegas and our Circus Sportsbook studios with Mike Pritchard. He's the former NFL wide receiver. I'm Ben Wilson. We made it through wildcard weekend. Pritch,
yes.
How'd the betting go for you?
Betting was not bad.
Not bad.
You know, one of the things I discovered, and I don't know if it was by accident or if this is what people normally do, but like, say you have a teaser, right? And you get one leg home and you're waiting on the other leg, monetizing that situation, right?
A little middle potential.
Yeah, or middle potential, right? I mean, so there's nothing wrong with that. And that helped me because there was some numbers out there yesterday with the Cowboys. -2.5, that was juiced up, but there was threes that were even. So if you took the three and it was even, you didn't pay the juice, then I actually made more money on that situation because I made more money than I put on the teaser.
So yeah, Tampa was up to 8.5 and then Dallas at 3. That's how you played it?
Well, no, Tampa was up at 8.5, but I had the Bengals.
So you already cashed one leg.
Yeah, I had one leg in. Waiting on the Buccaneers, hopefully, to keep that thing within two scores. But I took the -3 on the Cowboys even. So that helped out. And I'll ask the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers, I figured that was, I guess that's a bad beat.
That's one of the all-time bad beats if you had the Chargers over the weekend.
Minus one.
So, Mike Pritchard, you would have been cooking with gas had the Cowboys won the game by 7 or 6 or something like that. That's not how it went, though.
No, not at all.
This was an utter destruction. And we can put to bed the notion that a fraudulent Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay team had any chance of making a deep postseason run as they lose by 17, 31-14. Cowboys cover all numbers. Those teaser legs, unfortunately for Pritch, get busted. Under somehow cashes in a game that had 7 touchdowns. Go figure that when an under was 45.5.
Yeah.
7 touchdowns were scored, and yet the over does not get there. How do you analyze Dallas's performance in a game that many people assumed would not be a good matchup for them, at least?
Yeah, no, I mean, as you're watching a game, it's like the Cowboys' offense was a step ahead of the Buccaneers' defense. Like, the Buccaneers were reacting to everything the Cowboys were doing. That was an illustration of how you dictate a game offensively. And in other words, you could do whatever you want. It didn't matter what they were doing. I mean, I know the broadcast here were talking about how well Dak was playing, but he did. I mean, he got the Cowboys into some great situations at the line of scrimmage too, but they were just a step ahead of that defense for Tampa. I'm like, how do they not realize that Dallas wants to attack the middle of the field? And it doesn't matter which player. Mm-hmm. Their entire philosophy was to attack the middle of the field. And for whatever reason, Bowles wasn't taken out away. I mean, he would void the linebackers out of the middle of the field. He would spread them out, and any type of adjustments that they did make, Cowboys were ahead of that too. It was man-to-man coverage or zoning it up, or cover three and stuff like that. And It's just the Cowboys were clicking. And that is a testament to, I think, some of the changes that they've made, attention to detail with the running game. Having Pollard be the featured guy, they're more explosive offensively too that way. And then, you know, just having Dakota be that guy at the line of scrimmage. And that was helpful because it wasn't controlled from the sideline. Dak had all the control in the world of that game. And it showed. I mean, the Cowboys were clicking in that matchup.
Because if you were a believer in the season-long numbers for Dallas, Dak Prescott as a quarterback was a top 10 guy on the basis of the season. By any advanced metric stat you want to look at, sometimes, Pritch, we get sort of taken off the sense by a couple of games at the end of the season when total implications aren't necessarily on the line. Dallas had very little to play for week 18. It was a very small percentage for them to move off of the 5-seed line. What happened in those games? Dak Prescott looked horrific. The Cowboys' offense was terrible in the final couple games of the season. And everybody kind of said, okay, Dallas team, you can't trust him whatsoever. Yet in the games that have mattered down the stretch, there are really two games, the final half of the season, where Dallas was in a position at full strength, where it had something to prove against a so-called elite team. The first game happened against Minnesota a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Dallas had won the game by halftime. And then last night, where the Cowboys did anything they wanted to, and Prescott finishes 25 of 33, 305 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and adds a rushing touchdown, over 6 yards of play in that game. It just leads me to believe this has always been an elite unit, Dallas. It's just a very enigmatic up-and-down unit where you don't know what you're getting each week.
So how do you trust that?
In a game where their backs were against the wall and nobody really believed in what Dallas could do, it was the perfect spot for them. It applied this week. I don't know how much you can say it applies going forward, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you trust them? Like, so trusting them in a desperate spot, probably, right? Kind of
exactly.
I guess Minnesota earlier in the year.
Coming off of a bad loss.
Sure. So something like that, you know, from a betting standpoint, how do you trust the Cowboys? Because they do have that up and down nature about them, that inconsistency. You know, the tea leaves are there too, I think, whoever you follow. The week of preparation, I was on a Pro Football Blitz with Brady Cannon, and I was clowning McCarthy for putting together a teaching reel of all of his interceptions. And I said, that better work, because how are you going to put that image in somebody's head, right? How are you going to put that image of failure in somebody's head right before biggest game of the year? But, you know, if it did work and if it did unlock some things, because Dak did look different, like, even watching that game, I'm like, when is he going to throw the pick? But he was in tune, and that was a great game plan for them against a step ahead. But then also the tea leaves from a betting standpoint, the great week of practice, the preparation, and then, you know, comments like that. You know, it's how do you use that information? You know, you can make a decision, and for me, I think that's something that you do in the offseason. But if McCarthy knows how to trigger Dak, then that was a good coaching tactic to do something like that.
As better as it ultimately comes down to trust.
Yeah.
A lot of people do not trust Mike McCarthy as a coach, and for good reason. There have been a lot of pieces of evidence and games of mismanagement to point to that over the years.
Right.
I can say that as a Packer fan, having watched him coach my hometown team for many a season. But at the same time, as much as people wanted to combine the lack of trust for McCarthy as a coach with a Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady on the other side being a home underdog, this is not the Tom Brady of years past in New England, or even a couple seasons ago in Tampa Bay. Tom Brady and Tampa Bay were arguably the second biggest frauds in the NFL the entire season, to only Minnesota. Both of those teams now eliminated from the postseason. Tampa Bay did not deserve to be in the playoffs whatsoever. And yet bettors talked themselves into Tampa Bay as a legitimate threat to not only win the game last night against Dallas, but to make a full postseason run. When you have an aging quarterback who is about middle of the pack on an EPA per play, completion percentage over expectation basis in the league, with a banged up offensive line and a total offense that's bottom 10 in yards per play and bottom 12 in yards per drive, combined with a shaky defense that finished the year bottom 6 in pass defense the final 6 weeks, this should have been inevitable. And yet the market didn't trust it, most bettors didn't trust it, and a lot of people lost money because of that blind, old-time bias trust in a guy that doesn't have it anymore in Tom Brady.
Well, first of all, the defense for Tampa, you know, from an entire year standpoint, there are some bright spots, like second in the National Football League in three and outs, and we saw that a little bit earlier on in the game. But yeah, the declining, the age of that roster was evident with how Dallas was able to pick it apart and, like, again, be a step ahead. And Bulls, they couldn't adjust to anything properly. Like, first of all, when somebody's exploiting you in the middle of the field, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the running game too. So you take one safety out and you expose yourself that way, but you're so basic too, right? I think Tom Brady looked like an old man. He threw the ball 66 times, and he's a guy without a running game. And so I'm not making excuses for him. He looked old and, yeah, definitely out of place. The reason why I had them on a teaser was because I thought, as they have merged with the aggressiveness offensively, down the field throws and stuff like that repeatedly, that was something that they were going to get to, right? But they elected not to do that. You know, the whole dink and dunk stuff, and really couldn't get into a rhythm, and certainly couldn't run the football. So, yeah, they were up against it.
No, you were not the only one who had Tampa in some sort of bet last night. Mm-hmm. But Brady, without good personnel around him, without a trustworthy offensive line, it's the reason why he struggled, and he looks like a guy whose time is coming to an end. You have to think he's done in Tampa Bay. Now the question is, what's next for Brady? Here's what he had to say last night, as now the speculation, Mike, can begin for the Tampa Bay offseason.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort, and I know it's hard for you guys too. It's hard for us players to make it through, and you guys got a tough job, and I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support, and you know, hopefully, you know, I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you everybody for welcoming me, all you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Like a very nice goodbye farewell to Tampa Bay. Is that how you interpret it?
Yeah, yeah. Was there a little misty there too? Was there a little emotion? You know, he's breaking up a little bit, I thought. But yeah, it did sound like that. It sounded like he was thanking everybody. And, you know, Troy talked about, Aikman talked about, you really don't get a sense of what he's going to do. And the guy's been through a lot this year. I mean, on and off the field, right? And it's like, what? I don't know if anybody knows what this man's going to do. He has the leakers last year. We'll see if there's information that's going to be leaked out this year. But that did seem like that was a goodbye to the media out there in Tampa.
It felt somewhat inevitable with all the struggles Tampa went through this season that maybe he wouldn't hang it up, but this was probably the end of the line from a few weeks ago, at least for Tom Brady in Tampa. We close the book in the Tampa Bay season. What a whirlwind that was. But we're not done in the NFL playoffs. Will Hill going to join us this hour, a VSiN analyst, to break down divisional round action. So will Josh Applebaum of our VSiN Morning Daily Bets podcast. He'll come on in the next hour. But let's flip this forward now. Dallas, San Francisco, an opening line is out. We'll give our original reactions as we continue here on the Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on this trip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In addition to our guests coming up later today with Will Hill, Josh Applebaum stopping by, we have a lot to get to, Mike, on the show. Your playoff edition of Right Route, Wrong Route, which we're looking forward to. The one last thing I wanted to mention on the game last night.
Mm-hmm.
You see your guy, Deion Sanders, primetime on the Manning cast last night.
Yes, I did.
Calling for Dallas to take the points on the fourth and goal at the 1 seconds before Dak Prescott takes it in for a touchdown on just a beautifully executed naked bootleg. So
first of all,
primetime, he's got to make some big decisions now as your Colorado Buffalo head coach. So people are giving him a hard time, though, for that last night.
Well, he made the biggest one of all. He went to Colorado. He's the head coach at the University of Colorado. Look at the run that we are on right now. The Buffs with the gear
everything, Colorado,
right? That's
Buffaloes.
Right. That's right. So much momentum. So great job, Coach Prime.
I was
awesome
thinking of
job.
You last night when I saw that.
See, I wasn't even paying attention to what he was saying. I just looked at the gear. I'm just like, how many people are going to go get the gear now?
Boosters are happy.
Boosters are very happy.
As an alum of Colorado.
Absolutely. As a legend, very happy. The thing about... you know, the aggressive nature too, you know, again, it's just another step, evidence of it being another step ahead of Tampa. And moving forward, because it is about matchups and you wonder the Cowboys, what can they do in a short week? It's a short week. That's how I'm looking at this game against San Francisco, because of the nature of the rest versus lack of rest situation, travel too. So the Cowboys are going to be in a short preparation week, and you wonder how they evolve what they established against Tampa and now move forward against San Francisco.
Opening line, San Francisco -3.5 market wide. One book in the market is at 4. Behind us at Circa, which is a very good indication of where the market is likely to go with a lot of respected bettors betting into the shop behind us here at Circa. It's -3.5, -105. So a little bit juice toward the Dallas side. 46.5, your consensus opening total. A couple of books right now have gone down to 46 already. That two-day rest disparity, though, Mike, from San Francisco playing last Saturday, now to the late game on Sunday, Dallas short week off Monday night. Given that this is in the playoffs, and you normally don't see this, but we're in now just the second season of the new super wild card format. How much of an impact do you see that having?
Well, I mean, the Cowboys, they didn't look, they took some bumps and bruises. It feels like, you know, Micah Parsons, notably with the shin, you kind of worry about how that's going to feel today and how quickly they can get that to a situation where he feels better for the game, which will happen. I mean, they'll be nursing that around the clock and, you know, and other bumps and bruises, but nothing significant. I think just going over and scanning over the thoughts of the game. But the rest is real. The travel is real, though. Like, you just get back and you just get that good night of sleep. And okay, now you're back at it. And then you're going to have to travel early again to get out to the Bay Area a little bit. So it's disruptive. But, you know, from a preparation on the field standpoint, it's mostly walkthroughs now. And you're gonna rehearse and rep some things just to stay sharp. But from a game planning standpoint, you know, that's where I think the time crunch could hamstring the Cowboys a little bit.
As much as it's tempting to want to say Dallas just obliterated Tampa Bay in that primetime Monday night slot, quarterback Dak Prescott looks so good, five total touchdowns. I love San Francisco this week. San Francisco is the most complete team in the playoffs right now, Mike. They will destroy Dallas. I'm going to say that right now.
All right, be careful with the adjectives here.
That number, if it gets down to three, will be a unload the clip on a San Francisco clip.
You're going full. Unload it.
San Francisco is so good in now multiple areas on offense. With a quarterback in Brock Purdy, not many people could trust him coming in. But in the 6 weeks he's taken over as a starter, Mike, San Francisco's third on rush offensive efficiency.
Right.
Third in pass offense efficiency. Purdy's a top 10 quarterback by the advanced numbers since he took over as a starter. Completion percentage over expectation, EPA per play. You get a Dallas pass defense that was not at all exposed last night, but that over the final 6 weeks of the season really fell off, was a bottom 10 unit, yet Tom Brady's awful Tampa Bay team could not take advantage of that whatsoever. Yeah. This is a perfect situation for San Francisco, and they are the most complete team with not only that offense, but also an elite top two defense.
Yeah, I mean, I love adjectives and verbs here for this description of this game matchup.
I'm glad that you found that amusing.
Unload the clip. You know,
you wouldn't go that far.
I would. Well, because it's the playoffs, right? Right. And, yes. And I think we're talking about the supposedly the best teams in the league, and okay, who's hot, who's not, that kind of thing. I mean, you're right. I mean, the 49ers, they do have the most complete roster, and it's, we see the evidence all over the place. They're on their third string quarterback, but it doesn't matter. They're healthy, you know, the Cowboys and a matchup up front with a unit that's not entirely healthy. As I just remembered that Peters went down, but Peters was, how old is Peters?
41. He's 41. I'll double check that. Jason Peters, who tapped out as the starting left tackle last night for Dallas.
So they had to adjust that way. And you know, you wonder if he's going to make it back in a short week situation. Mm-hmm. You know, he's maybe a Hall of Famer. I would assume that he probably will be at some point, but he's still the age factor, right? I mean, you're talking about Bosa, the player, defensive player of the year, and you're talking about Eric Armstead. I mean, you're talking about a prominent front for the 49ers. Yeah, it gets difficult going through and breaking up some potential matchups and advantages the 49ers will have. Yeah. And then from a lack of preparation or crunch time, putting together something that could work against the 49ers, that's where it gets compromising too. So, it's 3.5 now. Some books, you said, are at 4.
Caesars right now is at 4.
Okay, so
pretty much painted 3.5.
We were talking about this. Do you, because you don't like to lay the hook, but yet is this line going to climb though? Right?
That's the thing. I expect the number to go up.
Okay.
I would make the number 6. Surprised it did not open higher.
I loaded the clip. That number is going to 6.
I expect the number to continue to climb. But the whole reason why I like Dallas this past week and last night, Tampa Bay offensively was so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
So it was easy for Dallas to cover some of those defensive warts. You saw how they rushed the passer. They took advantage of a weak offensive line for Tampa Bay with a couple of backups in there. Ryan Jensen was activated the center for Tampa, but hadn't played all season. It was injured the first day of training camp. You can't take advantage of San Francisco that way because there are no holes in the offense. So where is that success going to come from if you're now having to, on a short week, go back across the country and take on an offense that has zero holes and can pretty much do what they want from a matchup perspective?
Well, that's what I mentioned earlier about preparation time, because you know, against a one-dimensional offense, let's come up with some schemes or come up with some instances in which we can apply some pressure, whether it's Parsons off the edge or we move him around and put him in the middle of the field. They're already one-dimensional. Let's not worry about the running game. Let's make sure we are sound in stopping the running game, but we got to get after Tom Brady, get after the passer. But you're right. I mean, this is a different animal now. How do you defend a balanced attack, and how do you defend a potent rushing game? How do you defend the play action? How do you defend, and how do you match up against Kittle, Debo, Christian, Ayuk? I mean, it goes on and on and on, right? So that's where the lack of time makes it difficult to side with the Cowboys early. But if you think the line's going to go up, then obviously you might have to lay the hook. We talked about, buying it down. I don't do all that stuff, but...
Right. It's usually not a very... Yeah. Usually having to pay a pretty big price to buy down, especially when you're talking about key numbers. Like at Circa, if you wanted to buy down San Francisco to -3, it would be -135. You're probably just better off looking at a money line price at that point, either finding a dance partner or or just making the straight bet. The opening money line price -185 to -195, depending on the market. So you're talking only a 60-cent difference if you're buying down a 3.5 to 3.
Do you try to get in front of the public at all?
Well, what's interesting about the anatomy of a line is that sometimes you will see head fakes this early in the week. The limits are lower. So could I see some, an early nibble here on Dallas, see the line touch 3 in some spots, and then people come in heavier, moving the line up? I could see that. I doubt it'll happen. That's more wishful thinking on my part. But it all comes down to power ratings and where the market has the teams power rated. I was really surprised. As someone who's been pretty higher on the market than the market on Dallas this year, Mike, I was kind of surprised to see them get that much respect in this game against San Francisco. I would have thought it'd have been in that 5, 5.5, 6 range.
Well, I know there's some people out there that think that Dallas could get on a run here. In other words, they have a legitimate chance of upsetting San Francisco and get on a run.
You one of those people?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. And you think about, from a power ranking standpoint, you got 3 teams in the NFC East. I don't know if you have dove into that in terms of the situation of how the landscape of the NFC conference played out this year.
It's impressive, no doubt, that a division gets 3
right
into the final four of a specific conference. The one thing that would at least concern me a tiny bit on San Francisco, did give up some big pass plays to Seattle last week. If Dallas is going to have to be uber aggressive, we'll have to look to go for the deep passes way downfield. When we return on the Lombardi Line, some other news and notes from around the league, including for the Los Angeles Chargers.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. You're asking, Mike, if I had looked into the whole 3 divisional teams making the 3 in the same division, making the divisional round. First time it's ever happened in the new era since the realignment happened in 2002. Last time you were playing, 97. The old black and blue division of the NFC Central when 4 different teams made the playoffs. But again, those were back in the 5-team division days. The Vikings, Packers, and Buccaneers made the divisional round in 1997. So the more you know, Mike.
Yep, absolutely.
And now the NFC East this year.
Yeah, I mean, and the expansion age, too. Like, I guess, is that more parity or just the NFC being down? Like, from a power ranking standpoint, because I don't typically power rank. Everything changes, right? And, you know, what your power rankings are at the beginning of the year, obviously, is going to be different at the end of the year. But I think, are we aligning divisions here, the whole NFC West versus the NFC East, that kind of thing? I mean, that's why it gets convoluted to me in terms of power rankings and all that. So,
especially when you now have an additional playoff team and there's that 7. Very impressive, though, what the NFC East did. And the fact that 3 teams who would have been in under the old playoff system, all in the top 6 as far as the seeding goes. So very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the NFC East. Now, one team, we showed the updated playoff bracket. Very nicely done by our overall graphics engineer, Michelle Delgadillo. Does an outstanding job every year. That's a great graphic. Yeah, for those of you watching us on VSiN.com and YouTube TV. But one of those teams that is blacked out of the playoffs, it's the LA Chargers. They're done. And a lot of the immediate reaction, Mike, was that, okay, Brandon Staley's head coach, he's got to go. There's no way he survives the weekend. Well, as of today, it's 12:32 p.m. on the East Coast. We're still at breakfast time here in Vegas. But Staley's still the coach. And changes are being made. It's just not the ones we maybe were expecting, Mike. Chargers this morning fire offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator Shane Day. Those are the two first heads, at least, to roll here, Mike. How do you react to that?
Well, I mean, typically, when you're referencing it that way, it's at the top, right? But no, Lombardi, grandson of Vince, but no, he's fired. And, you know, when you look at the situation, was he holding this offense back? I guess you can make some references to that. They couldn't establish a running game. They also fired the passing game coordinator.
Right.
So when you look at that on the surface, though, it's like, okay, what did Justin Herbert regress? What happened? No, he didn't. I mean, he threw for 4,700 yards instead of 5,000 yards. but it is indicative of where the league is going, I think, in terms of the balance that you need to have. You know, if the Chargers run the football, even attempt to run the football, do they eat time off the clock and stuff like that? And do they help themselves win a game? The complementary nature of the game now, you know, are they on a disconnect on different pages? There's several reasons why stuff like this happens. But it's not the name, though. It's not the guy who's responsible for everything and Staley. And so you wonder what's going on with that situation. But yeah, changes are made. I think in the National Football League, everybody's up to be replaced or certainly upgraded. And maybe the Chargers have their eye on somebody that could upgrade this offense and upgrade the situation with Justin Herbert.
Sean Payton is the one name that most people would say would upgrade that, but that's more of a
the whole head coach thing. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Coach thing.
Factor in the family,
right?
The ownership and all that.
The one thing that that hasn't gone talked about as much, because people have assumed, okay, with this epic collapse by the Chargers, third largest comeback in playoff history from the Chargers losing to Jacksonville over the weekend, it would make a lot of sense for Sean Payton, who's in LA right now as a Fox analyst, to come. And of all the potential openings, the Chargers would be a team that have the most Super Bowl ready roster with one of the best young quarterbacks in the game right now in Justin Herbert. It would make a lot of sense, but you think about that organization, Mike. Mm-hmm. They're playing in a stadium that they don't even own. It's the Rams stadium at SoFi.
Right.
It's an owner who has not exactly been the most willing to spend over the years in the Spanos family. And the cost is going to be a lot if you were to fire Brandon Staley. He's on a $4 million a year contract. You'd have to pay him, then pay Sean Payton a king's ransom. Plus, you'd likely give a late first-round draft pick to New Orleans. That's what the Saints are rumored to be asking for as part of that compensation package, since Payton is still under contract there. The point being, there are a lot of different pieces of tape there to cut through if you're the Chargers, and you wonder, given the history of that franchise, if that's an actual reality for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, was it Jim Trotter? You got to follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of in tune with the Chargers and really does a great job there. You know, the Spanos family, like you mentioned, and the whole situation with that franchise, they lose that market in San Diego and all that stuff. So, yeah, you wonder from what they're going to do. Is this a scapegoating situation? You never know. I mean, if there's an upgrade out there for Justin Herbert, I think you have to explore that. You know, and I think if you feel like you need to run the football better, which they do, in order to help Justin Herbert and help their cause as a franchise and trying to win a championship. And if you think that situation is out there, then absolutely. But the whole macro aspect of it with Sean Payton, yeah, you got to do a lot there.
Yeah.
And that's something that this franchise doesn't do. You know, just from my time in the league and as a card-carrying member of the National Football League, it's like, no, they just don't do that kind of thing. But Jim Trotter's been all over this, certainly. I mean, if you really want to deep dive on what's going on, I think he can explain it the best. But, yeah, you know, Justin Herbert, he's going to cost him. Like, if you think about this, Chargers, like, getting rid of Staley is cheap compared to what it's going to cost you to keep Justin Herbert, right? And to me, I think if you have a chance to enhance Justin Herbert from that level, head coaching on, then you do it. I don't think you waste time by slowly doing it. Like, okay,
Corden, on a rookie deal,
right? But that's going to turn into a fifth-year option situation this year, obviously, or a long-term contract. And you know, Kyler Murray kind of did that. But you got Justin Herbert in that window right now, where it's going to cost him a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And rightly so. I mean, the kid is an incredible quarterback. But if you're going to nickel and dime this with the coaches, then how are you helping Justin Herbert? Unless you really feel like, as a franchise, there is this unbelievable offensive coordinator out there to help this player get to the next level.
Right. Herbert comes out yesterday. He, Derwin James, Joey Bosa, they said their vocal support for their head coach in Brandon Staley. There's supposed to be a press conference coming up tomorrow with GM Tom Telesco and Staley talking about the offseason, what is next now for the Chargers, but it appears as though for now, at least, Staley is still going to be the head coach, at least on the offensive side, as much as people might say, okay, how can you really fire the offensive coordinator when Staley, you're the head coach, you were the one who was in charge of this collapse. It's not like Joe Lombardi covered himself in glory on Saturday night in Jacksonville. When you're up 27-0, the offensive scheme in the second half, the way they were, I mean, think about some of the, if you go back and watch the film, snapping the ball at 22 on the play clock, 18 on the play clock. Right. You would have thought, Mike, after the Falcons blew a 28-3 lead against the Patriots about 5 years ago now in the Super Bowl, that game tape would have been seared into the minds of every single offensive mind in the league as the prime example of what not to do when you have a big lead in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And yet the Chargers basically looked at what Dan Quinn and the Falcons did 5 years ago and said, hold my beer.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, you got to attempt to, the complementary nature of winning a football game, right? And you can't run the football, but still can't stop the clock either. And I think, or manage the clock, you know, deeper on the play clock, like you mentioned, taking eating up seconds. But if Justin Herbert hits Keenan Allen, right, or if the kicker makes a field goal,
Dicker the kicker,
you're gonna go. That name crushes me. It crushes me. But yeah, that's his name though. And if he makes a field goal, you know, maybe that comeback doesn't happen, right? And Lombardi holds on another week. But is the problem with Staley still there? Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Right. And that's the whole issue. It's like, this is inevitable in terms of when Staley is no longer going to be the head coach. And it's like they're slow rolling the situation with Justin Herbert and that football team right now.
It's just amazing. And when you lay it out that way, and you're so right on this, how everybody's going to blame the head coach, and Brandon Staley deserves the blame. Mm-hmm. Playing Justin Herbert, Mike Williams, all the starters in 18, to me, was a fireable offense in and of itself. But there are so many different points of a football game, Saturday night in Jacksonville included, that you can point to as, like, if situation A doesn't happen, if situation K doesn't happen, the Chargers probably win the game. And yet at the end of the day, they, by a multitude of errors, they caused themselves in the game. Heads now rolling, and that's just the nature of the NFL. You were part of it for a decade. Yes, that's just how it goes.
That's how it goes. Let's see if they can upgrade it, though.
See if they upgrade it.
Yeah.
I think we're both surprised, though, that Staley is still with his job. Even all those things we say about the Chargers organization, still a surprise for us today. As Joe Lombardi, again, if you're just joining us, he is the first on the chopping block fired as OC of the Chargers. When we return, Will Hill, our do-it-all VSiN analyst, he joins us. Some early thoughts on NFL divisional round.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. All right, we turn the page now, Mike, to divisional round. As we get four games starting Saturday, doubleheader Sunday, and to help us break it all down, some initial thoughts on all the games, Will Hill, our friend at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, do-it-all VSiN analyst. Got to say, Will, one of the things I love the most about your Twitter presence, like, so I can't, as a play-by-play guy, I can't really criticize broadcasters. It's one of those code things, like, we're just not allowed to do it. You don't want to be that guy who's ripping your fellow broadcasters. I love that Will, though, pulls no punches on the quality of broadcasts throughout the National Football League, so... Well, I always read those, and I don't interact with them, but just know, buddy. In my mind, I'm like, thank you, Will. Thank you.
Which one are we referring to?
I'm not going to make any individual statements. I'm just going to say all of them. You're usually spot on with your critiques, Will. So thank
we
you.
We got to get Pritch to get Ben to break here and just sort of open up the ball.
He might be referring to
there's been
Dungy
a lot this year. There's
Dungy, Al Michaels, maybe.
Oof!
I know Will was upset with that for a number of reasons. Just like Mike, Will, you would have had a nice weekend were it not for the Chargers doing the ultimate chargering, right?
I got a feeling our buddy Al Michaels had the Chargers on the money line too. That might explain his lack of enthusiasm for that final play. Man, he was wishing that flag was against the Jags, and he just kept saying, there's a flag. It's like, Al, Jacksonville's running out midfield, jumping all over each other. I think we know who it's against.
We know who it's against. Anyway, yeah, that wasn't meant to be just like a last weekend thing. Well, I just, you know, I felt like you were due the compliment for that. As we move on to divisional weekend round now, opening line comes out, Dallas, San Francisco, painted 3.5s across the board. How surprised were you to see that number only 3.5?
Yeah, it looked a little light. To me, this is a really good spot for San Francisco. This is a tough spot for Dallas. This is now four road games in a row for Dallas, and they've flown all over the country. You know, Tennessee on a Thursday night, to Washington, Tampa last night, and now they're going to fly out to the West Coast, different time zone. So four straight road game, I think that's a tough spot. And the rest situation, I mean, that game got over, Monday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, and San Fran got done Saturday afternoon. So you get a couple extra days of rest for San Francisco. San Francisco doesn't have to travel. So to me, the situation here favors San Francisco. I didn't lay it yet because, hey, at 3.5, maybe there's just, you know, I don't think it'll get to 3, but even if there's a 10 or 15% chance it gets to 3, 3 is just so much better than 3.5. And hey, if it goes to 4, it goes to 4. You know what? It's worth it to wait and hope you get a 3. So directionally here, I like San Francisco. I haven't bet it yet, but I'll probably end up with the 49ers in my account here.
You know, Will, when you look at this matchup too, I mean, obviously the rest advantage with the 49ers too, and where it could really stand out, I think, will be in the trenches, right? And the Cowboys have been this team in which they've discovered this running game with Pollard, the explosive nature of it anyway. And they're down to 6 offensive linemen. They're going to have to elevate somebody, depending on Jason Peters, and those 6 offensive linemen got a lot of run. I mean, I don't know if you're a snap count guy, and okay, do you apply that to the lack of rest? And I'm applying it to lack of preparation, because how did the Cowboys evolve from what they did against Tampa and be ready to make changes and certainly adjustments that are necessary against San Francisco?
Yeah, and that's a great point, and you're going to give Shanahan, who's just a great schemer, a couple extra days to sit in his lab and come up with ways to exploit Dallas. So that's, you know, hey, every hour, every day is important. So Shanahan gets extra time. The offensive linemen get extra time. So to me, it's a great spot here for San Francisco. And just not from a betting standpoint, but how much fun is this game? I mean, this is, Ben, you're too young for this, but Pritch remembers. I mean, this was every year in the 90s. These teams were playing in the division round, the championship game. Growing up watching football, this game was a staple every January.
Yeah, I remember when I was like 2, Will. I was at least alive for the last couple of those games. Okay. Come on.
What year was that?
95. I remember that. I was born in 93. I was, you know, toddler.
The epic ones were before you were
I'm born. Aware of that, but I'm just saying. I have an appreciation for NFL history. Will Hill, you can follow again at Not The Will Hill. A lot of great matchups, though, this week. Want to go to where you're at, Will, in New York. Giants now take on the Eagles. Eagles looked a little shaky down the stretch. Giants, we just watched them. I have the greatest performance of Daniel Jones's career in a postseason game. First quarterback ever to throw for 300 yards, 2+ touchdown passes, and run for 75 yards in Giants postseason history and in the playoffs in general. How much of a believer are you in what the Giants are putting out in the field right now as a 7.5-point dog this week?
I think we see this every year where a team looks really good in the wild card round and the team off the bye obviously doesn't play, so we don't see them, and recency bias takes over and people fall in love with the team they just saw win, the team they just saw cover. I'd be careful here about the Giants. I think Philly is going to use this week or two to get healthy, to get rested. I would lean towards Philly with the points. I'm going to be like everybody else here. I'm going to tease the Eagles and the Chiefs here. If one of them loses and it beats me, it beats me. But directionally here, I would lay probably the points if I had to with Philly. I just think the Giants will struggle offensive line. I think Neal is a guy who can be exploited. And to me, I think people are just falling a little too in love with the Giants, who just beat up on a really bad Minnesota defense. So Philly did not look great the last month. The Giants are playing their best football, so I can understand people making the case for the Giants plus the points. But to me, this bye week is going to do wonders for Philly. I think they'll come in rested, and I think we'll see more of a matchup. These teams played about 2 months ago, and Philly absolutely buried them in New York. I know the Giants have played well since then, but I would lean towards the Eagles here. And like I said, me and the rest of the world is going to be on an Eagles-Chiefs teaser this Saturday.
Yeah, going to be a popular teaser.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Will, it's interesting because – the playoffs always present so many different opportunities, and as a well-rounded, better as yourself. I mean, it's like using information, or are you chasing numbers? I mean, where are you in terms of a philosophy or strategy that you implement during playoff season right now?
Yeah, I think some of the best bets are just early in the week. I think by the time you get to kickoff, a lot of these numbers have matured. The markets have matured. I mean, look at Cincy Baltimore last week. There was plenty of opportunity. I think you could have laid 6, 6.5, seven, obviously, it lands on. And then it was 8.5, 9. So that's one where, hey, you should have won it either way. You should have laid 6.5 at worst push with the 7 with Cincy, or you should have won with the Ravens. I saw there was a big bet. Somebody took +6.5. on the Ravens for like 6 figures. I'm like, man, what are you doing? Yeah. You could have had 8.5. Not only could you have pushed, you could have won, you should have won. So I think sometimes the best bets are just being able to anticipate where the market's going to go. Yeah,
that line peaked at 10 very briefly. There was about a 24-hour window. You could have had Ravens +9.5 if you did like the dog price there. Will, with that in mind, Bengals, Bills this week. Line opens 4. Quickly bet up to 5, though, in the market. What do you make of the early move here?
Yeah, it's interesting. Both these teams sort of survive in advance last week. Neither team has looked great. Cincy, I think we're seeing it's not the same team that made the Super Bowl last year. I think they really miss Awuzie at corner. The kicker hasn't been reliable. Remember, he was really the hero. Everyone made it out to be Burrow, and Burrow's awesome, but it was really the kicker who carried them throughout the playoffs last year, the kicker and the defense. You know, they don't run the ball as well. They're not great at corner. Their offensive line is a mess, especially on the right side. So I don't love what I'm seeing from Cincy now, but Buffalo hasn't looked great either. I think the turnovers are an issue. So to me, I would lean towards taking the points. I just don't think there's 5 points that separate either one of these teams. I think both these teams, like I said, kind of limping in here. It's not that Buffalo team we saw the first month where everyone just said, boy, this is a great team, a historically great team. They're still really good, but they could have easily lost to Skylar Thompson and the Dolphins the other day, even though they did outgain them. So would lean towards taking the 5. I just don't think these teams are 5 points apart.
I know you're really excited for this breakdown. We'll start it next hour. Bengals, Bills.
Oh, Pritch, yeah.
Pritch has been a Bengal guy since, I remember like week 6 last year, Pritch called a shot on the Bengals, and you've backed them, but it's really interesting to watch how the market has changed.
Right. And I agree with what Will just said, though. I mean, like, this 5-point separate these two teams right now, the way that they're playing.
Totally fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally fair point right there.
As far as the last game, Will, final thoughts on Jaguars Chiefs before we let you get out of here. Right now, market consensus at 8.5 here. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, I'm teasing the Chiefs. I would look towards the Chiefs in terms of a team total over, maybe the game over. We've seen it tick up a little bit. Jags are not good against the pass. Herbert and those slow receivers, that conservative passing attack didn't really expose them. You're going to go into Arrowhead. That's a different story. I think the Chiefs will get into the 30s. Jags are an over team now because they can't stop the pass and they throw it pretty well. So I'm sure the Jags will get their points. I look for 34-24 type of Chiefs win. So I like the over this game, and I like the Chiefs on a teaser.
Been bet up early already from 52 to 53. Interesting to see where that number continues to go. He is Will Hill. Give him a follow at Not The Will Hill. Always kind of join us here on a Tuesday on the Lombardi Line. Will, always a pleasure, man. Keep up the great announcing tweets, all right? Just know, even if I'm not interacting, I'm seeing him, okay?
Thanks for having me, guys. See you.
All right, Will.
We'll probably be texting privately about that.
Do you need a burner account so you can reply?
You know what? One of my mentors, Ian Eagle, he has a... So Ian Eagle's famously not on social media, the CBS announcer. He does have a burner account.
Though. Okay.
Maybe I need to get one of those.
Is everybody supposed to know about his burner?
I don't know about that. I think he does. Okay, hour number two starts next here on the Lombardi Line.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.